Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hey friends, how are you? This is Danny Morrell with episode number 18 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I've got a very special yet different guest, unlike we've ever had before. Today, my friends, I've got someone that is in the field and in the real estate industry, yet however, doesn't really work on the day-to-day basis in selling homes. He focuses more on building businesses, and as a matter of fact, is a part of the number two real estate company in the world. Say hello to my good friend, Mr. Chris Stewart, the VP of Franchise Development for all of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Real Estate Division. Hello, Chris.
Danny, how are you, buddy? Good to be here.
Good to have you here, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, baby.
Awesome. Well, listen, I want everybody to get to know you a little bit because I think this is going to be a little bit of a different show. We typically deal about production-based conversations, and I think today we're going to be diving into leadership-based conversations. So for any of you that are out there that want to develop your leadership skills, want to develop your team building skills, want to eventually be a broker someday, want to understand how to run a company, this is the guy to do it. Chris, give them a little bit of your background, please, before we get started with the questions.
Yeah, so real quickly, I actually spent the first part of my career in technology sales, enterprise technology sales. Actually worked at a company called Oracle, which is now one of the largest software companies in the world. And then got into real estate about 14 years ago, and have a background and started and successfully ran a large mortgage, regional mortgage banking operation, which we sold, and then joined the leadership team at Intero Real Estate Services up in Northern California in 2008, and we sold that to Berkshire Hathaway in 2014, and I joined the corporate development team for Berkshire Hathaway last year. And actually now I'm responsible for franchise development for not only the Berkshire Hathaway Home Services brand, but also the Real Living Real Estate brand as well.
Okay, so both of them.
Correct.
So you've got your hands full.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we're looking at expanding the Berkshire brand internationally. So we'll pick up those responsibilities as well beginning next year.
So tell me this. I obviously you're my buddy and Gino's my buddy. For those of you guys that don't know, Gino Blafari is now the CEO of HSF. Essentially, that is the brand that all of the other brands are under. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, correct. That's the franchising company that Berkshire Hathaway owns is called HSF, Home Services Franchise Affiliate. So it's the franchise company that owns the Berkshire Hathaway brand, the Prudential brand, as well as the Real Living brand.
Okay, fantastic. And so, Chris, you guys came on board, what was this now, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I joined a year ago, and Gino took the CEO role effective January of last year.
January of last year. Talk to me about the growth that Berkshire has experienced since bringing you guys on board.
Yeah, so the focus really for most of the first half of last year was in converting what used to be the Prudential franchise network.
Okay.
So Berkshire had made an investment a couple of years earlier by buying that network, and so there was obviously an interest in making sure that all those Prudential affiliates successfully converted over to the new brand.
Right.
Because you you don't want to buy a business and then lose the value of the business was in the franchisees, the affiliates.
Right. Right.
So you don't want them to leave and go somewhere else.
Right.
And so that was the focus last year. And so really, beginning in summer last year, we started to really focus on new franchise sales, bringing new affiliates into the network that hadn't been a part of the Prudential family before. And so since then, we've added probably at this point nearly 40 affiliates.
Wow.
Across the country. And our typical company is probably about a three office company with somewhere around 80 to 100 agents. That'd be a typical affiliate that'd be joining us as a franchisee on the Berkshire Hathaway side.
Awesome. So to do 40 of those, we're in the last year and a half or so, we're talking This is a lot of added volume. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
How much volume was Berkshire responsible for in the year 2015? Do you know that number by any chance?
I don't know it off. I know this. We've got 42,000 agents, and our average per person production is right around 7, and our average sales price is $233,000.
Okay, so that's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah.
So when someone asks you that, Chris, you just say, you know what, it's a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So Chris, I was really interested in having you on today's show because I think that you have a unique perspective on business.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the downfalls that salespeople have, and even broker leaders have, is that they don't really treat their business like a business. They don't create a business that is by design, meaning by intention. And instead, stuff just kind of happens, right?
Yeah.
You've done this now with several companies. Talk to me about your thoughts on that and on the state of real estate, the state of real estate brokers and state of real estate agents, and what we can do to become better as an industry.
Yeah, the interesting thing to think about is, I ask this question a lot, and the answer is almost always the same, which is, when you were in high school, or in college, preparing to figure out what your career would look like, how many real estate agents plan to be real estate agents?
No, nobody.
Nobody.
Right.
Right? No one plans to be real estate agents. Now, on the other hand, think about people that become lawyers or accountants or dentists or firemen. How many of those people in high school or college made a deliberate choice as to what that career path would be?
Probably all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
So by nature, those of us, a lot of us in real estate, just happened to get here through a series of coincidences or, family relationships, friend relationships, whatever it might be. Our journeys are all here, for the most part, by default.
Right.
Just happened. There wasn't a plan. There wasn't an executed effort. And so... what I find is, because there wasn't a really deliberate plan ahead of time to get into this business, there's very rarely a deliberate plan once they're in the business, right. To run it, to grow it, to sell it. It's just a nature of who we are as people. And to me, that's a huge opportunity for us as professionals. Mm. Whether you're an agent or a leader, whether you're aspiring to grow your business into a team or wherever you are, whatever your role in this industry, understand that there's a huge opportunity in being deliberate and focused and purposeful about what you're trying to create with your business.
Okay, so let's talk about that, Chris. So what are some things that you feel that an agent, a team leader, or a broker, because listen, I've got a pretty decent sized company, and at the end of the day, I find myself a lot of times doing things that a lot of the three different roles that I just mentioned do. And it's because I want to be good at what I do. It's because I want to be purposeful at what I do. So let's give them a couple of building blocks, right? For our listeners out there, what are some things that you think? Let's start with a real estate agent. How about we target a real estate agent? What are one or two things that you think they can do in order to become better at being business people?
Yeah. Obviously, the goal in any business is to create systems and procedures that operate in your absence.
Time out that. Say that again, please.
I mean, the goal in any business,
right,
regardless of what you're doing.
Right.
The goal is to set up as many systems and processes as you can to automate the activities that business needs to perform, and ideally in your absence.
Whether you're there or not.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's the ideal outcome in any business.
Okay, so then would you say then that the opposite of that means that you don't have a business?
I would. The opposite of that means that you have a hobby. Or you have a job.
Or a high-paying job.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. All right.
Exactly.
So tell me more about that. What are some things? I know what my beliefs are, but I'm just curious. What are some of your beliefs about some things that a real estate agent can do to, and we'll go agent, then we'll go team leader, and then we'll go broker, which is, I know, more your cup of tea. But what are some things that a real estate agent can do to automate the process?
Well, I think, first of all, understanding that, you know, the most important part of this business is lead generation.
Okay.
And understanding at an agent level where your strengths and weaknesses are, what opportunities the marketplace presents to you, what opportunities the broker that you're working for presents to you, what opportunities the brand that you're affiliated with either presents or challenges that it creates, and being very mindful of the reality that there's really only four ways to generate leads in this business.
Okay.
There's your referral sphere. There is the opportunity to get out and work geographical farms, which is inclusive of open houses and door knocking and being very present and visible in you know, your selected areas. There's the digital, you know, lead generation strategies, whether it's, you know, Realtor.com or Zillow or Trulia or, you know, Tiger Leads. I mean, you know, there's a whole slew of those opportunities. And then the fourth way is working the phones.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, I have this discussion with agents and they don't really think about the idea of lead generation in that clear of a way.
Right.
And they're not able to articulate where their leads come from. They're not able to articulate, you know, where their strengths and weaknesses are relative
right.
to where they should be focused or where they shouldn't be focused. And so, you know, what I say is there's a difference between progress and activity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people confuse activity with progress.
Oof,
and they fool.
That's awesome. That, by the way, that's going to be a quote.
Yeah.
Just so you know, that's going to be
yeah.
a quote. Okay.
And so I just really encourage agents to first think about, okay, if the most important thing that I do is generating leads,
right.
then how am I doing so far? Give yourself a grade. Give yourself a perspective of what's working, what's not working, what should you be doing more of, and what should you be doing less of.
I have a thought, Chris. How about our audience give themselves a grade on the fact that if they even knew that was supposed to be the most important thing that they should be doing?
Yeah.
Because half the battle I face when I meet people and I'm, you know, working to coach them on how to increase their production is that they didn't even realize that is the foundation, that's the bedrock, that's the engine, that's the everything of your sales business is your ability to generate leads.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, so I just start there. Give yourself a grade on, do you even realize how important it is?
Okay, good.
And then from there, you know, really get organized, at least in your thoughts and preferably on paper, in those four categories of the types of leads you're out generating, where are you at? You know, give yourself a grade in each one of them and figure out what can you do more of and what should you be doing less of. I mean, a lot of agents I see paying a lot of money to these online lead generators,
mm-hmm.
and they're just fooling themselves.
Right.
They're wasting money. They're fooling themselves with activity, disguising activity as progress.
Right.
And it's very unmeaningful. And to me, it's a big reason that so many agents get out of the business so quickly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because there was nobody there to tell them the importance of lead generation.
That's right.
I mean, the way I see it, Chris, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that if more people had more leads in front of them and just more opportunities in front of them, that alone could change things, right?
Yeah.
And then it becomes, you know, how is your leadership ability? How are your sales skills? How's your ability to communicate in a convincing fashion to
right.
cause people to follow you? All of those things you can learn.
Yeah.
But you don't need to learn any of them if you don't got any leads in front of you.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
We always, you know, you use a term in business strategy, tip of the spear.
In
other words, what is the one most important thing, the single most important thing? Because if you're hunting with a dull spear, you're not going to be very successful.
Yep.
Right? So that's the thing with lead generation. It is the tip of your spear, and it fixes all of the ills in your business.
Absolutely.
I was on a panel at a convention late last year on negotiating, and it got around to me, and the moderator asked, you know, how do you be a success, you know, what are the tips and strategies to be a successful negotiator? I said, it's very simple. Be a great lead generator.
Yeah.
Because when you have leads and you have opportunity and you have pipeline and you're not emotionally vested in the outcome of deals and negotiations, you have leverage.
Absolutely.
And that's all you need to be a great negotiator.
Awesome. I love it, Chris. So let's take it to the next level. How about for a team leader, somebody who has, you know, obviously mastered lead generation, obviously put a couple of systems in place and now maybe wants to not wants to, because here's my beliefs on that. There's 50% of the teams out there should be dismantled. Right. I'm going to say 70% of the teams out there should be dismantled, because there's no business for them being a team. The only reason you should ever own a team, people, please listen to me. You might never listen to this show again, but I'm just going to tell you the freaking truth, is when you have so much listing business that you can no longer service your buyer business, and then you naturally need to get somebody to service the buyer business that you are no longer able to service. But that's not what's happening right now, Chris. What's happening right now is that we have these people who are spending thousands of dollars on Zillow or Trulia or whatever the case may be to feed buyer business, and without inventory in this business, you really have nothing.
Right.
So I'm sorry for going off on a little tangent right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a pretty passionate and debatable topic right now. I guess, what would be your advice for a team leader who wants to become a better business person?
Yeah. Well, you know, to your point is having clarity.
Yeah.
As to what outcomes you're trying to produce with this team. You know, having a real clear picture of what does the team look like? Who are its players? What roles and responsibilities clearly defined do the people on the team have? And what is your role? What are you doing? You know, if you're the quarterback of this team, you know, it's really important that you have a clear documented set of roles and responsibilities to make sure that that team is functioning properly. And you know, to your point, yeah, I mean, I see a lot of high producing agents just building a team for the sake of satisfying their ego.
Yeah.
And the reality is it takes a lot of work, a lot of money, and a lot of opportunity off the table just feeding an ego to have a team.
You know what's so cool about the fact that you just said that, Chris? It's like, you know, I am what I am. You know, I'm out here. I'm making it happen. Whether you like it or not, I'm coming. I'm coming strong. I'm going to dominate. And as a result, people think I'm mean or whatever, right? So I'll say something like that, like you're just building the team to satisfy your ego, and people will get mad at me and, you know, throw hate mail at me. But you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a nice guy, and you actually said that right now. So I love that you said that. That was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's you know, that's the reality of what we deal with a lot in this business is you know, it's just so egocentric.
Yeah.
I mean, I think quite frankly, a lot of people get into the business to satisfy that part of their personality, which, again, if whatever the belief is, if you're set up, if the whole mentality of the team is set up for the wrong reason, it's going to fail.
It's going to fail.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Eventually you'll create a revolving door where people will leave.
Yep.
Because people want to be a part of something special. They want to be a part of something growing. They want to be a part of leadership is what they want to be a part of.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's right.
All right. So third and finally, how about for the real estate broker? And this is where I think, you know, conversation is going to get a little bit better because this is your forte.
Yeah.
What do you think is missing, and how do we help create better real estate brokers and leaders of companies?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge that I find with almost all of the brokers I meet with is the absolute absence of a business plan.
Okay.
Everything that they've built to this point has been an evolution. Mm-hmm. It's by default. It just ended up this way.
Right.
And there is a huge opportunity in any business. Okay. In any business, there's a huge opportunity in working from a plan.
Right.
And the reality on the brokerage side is it's a very simple business. There's four simple outcomes that all brokers should be absolutely maniacal about in terms of what they're focusing on.
Okay. Wait, I'm going to test myself here. So let's see. Let's see. All right.
Those four things.
Yep. What are they?
Recruiting and retention.
Okay. That I'm maniacal about that.
Yeah.
Crazy about that. Yes.
Per person production.
I'm crazy about that. Good. All right. Good.
Retained company dollar.
Yes. Yes. All right. Good. I'm on the right track.
And expense management.
I a scale of 1 to 10. I think I'm a 9 on that. I'm all right on that. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Good.
So, you know, for me, if those are the outcomes that I'm trying to produce, and that's really my singular focus, those outcomes, then how can I clear my plate? How can I delegate? How can I create a team and systems and processes around me to support the idea that that's where I need to be spending most of my time? And what I get hung up in is the brokers who are spending all of their time building websites and negotiating with social media partners and figuring out their mobile app strategy. The reality is all of the infrastructure tools and systems that you need to run a very successful brokerage are available. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is free. A lot of it is right off of the shelf. That's the benefit in being with a franchise brand for a lot of companies. So there's some value in that angle. But the point is, so many brokers are operating with the absence of a plan. They don't have clarity on what they're doing. They're disguising activity as progress, and they have very little bit of their time focused on those four outcomes in their business.
I love it. And what is the result that you see? Because you're on a plane every single week.
Yeah.
You literally travel the country.
Yeah.
You meet with brokers and leaders and agents all along. And so I guess, what is the result you see for people in general in our industry that don't have a plan?
Typically, the brokers are leaving money on the table in the form of not successfully recruiting and retaining agents.
Okay.
In terms of what's available to them in their marketplace, mm-hmm. A lack of an awareness of how to move their average sales price up. A lot of brokers are really absent to the idea that by increasing your average sales price, you're increasing the value of your brokerage and you're giving your agents a pay raise.
I love it.
But there's got to be a deliberate plan and an awareness. And so many brokers are just unaware of even where they fit in the marketplace and how their brand is experienced and how their agents are competing for those higher end listings. But that's a huge opportunity that brokers are just missing.
I love it. And Chris, you know what's funny is that it sounds to me like that sounds a lot like what agents are missing. You know, agents are not able to capture market share in the neighborhoods that they want to be working in. And they're not able to increase their average sales price to do exactly what it is that you're talking about.
Precisely.
It's awesome how they work hand in hand.
Yeah.
And all of it, you think, has to do with the simpleness of just having a plan.
That's right. Okay. Having an awareness of where are the opportunities, where are the strengths and weaknesses, and how to go attack it. I mean, I was speaking with a broker earlier this week, and we talked about this specific idea of creating a plan, and we got talking about the topic because I asked, how are you performing this year against the plan that you developed last year? And it was silence, crickets, right? And so the reality is, if we have to understand that whether we like it or not, at the end of the year, your business will have produced something.
Right.
Okay. The question is, did it produce what you wanted it to? Mm-hmm. Right? And so the question is, are you going to create that result just through the stars aligning? I mean, is it just going to be good fortune and good weather and a little bit of sweat equity and then that's where it ends up?
Right.
Or is there something more deliberate in play?
Awesome.
I think just being clear about, what you're going after and being able to articulate that to your team and get them inspired and fired up to help you accomplish it, that's important.
Or if you're an agent, getting that clear and articulating it to yourself and getting yourself excited about it, yes or no?
Exactly.
I love it. Chris, I know you're a busy guy, and so this is going to be one of our shorter shows, but is there anything that you could leave our audience with? Any tips, anything that you would say could provide value for them and help them to, shift from becoming salespeople to really focusing on becoming better business people?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is understanding that we live in a world today where information is all over the place.
Right.
Okay. You're not paid as a real estate salesperson. You're not paid to close transactions. You're paid for your trust and your awareness of what's going on in the marketplace and your ability to deal with the intricacies of these negotiations and these transactions. You're really a consultant. Mm-hmm. And when you move your mentality from being a transaction-based salesperson to a consulting-based salesperson, there, it really requires that you understand what is my value in the marketplace and what do my buyers and sellers really need from me. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of real estate agents fail to understand the connection between why they're in this business and why the consumers need our services. Hmm. And they might be very successful, okay? But the success is going to be short-lived if there's not a fundamental belief in the value that they're providing and the approach as a consultant and as an advisor and as a trusted authority as opposed to just a transaction monkey.
Yeah, you are speaking my language, man.
Yeah.
You are absolutely speaking my language. Awesome, Chris. Awesome. Well, listen, we didn't keep you too long. I know you probably got a plane to catch somewhere. Where are you going to next?
I'm heading up to Sacramento later today.
Sacramento. Okay, yeah. Good. Heading up to Sacramento. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I for those of you that are our listeners, I wanted to provide you with a different angle. And I learned a lot from this conversation myself. I'm sure that you did. Chris, if they want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you or find you on Facebook or Instagram, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, C. Paul Stewart is the end of my Facebook. I'm also on Twitter. Twitter handle is HSF Chris Stewart.
Awesome, awesome. And if they're interested in finding more about Berkshire Hathaway, or what are you guys doing? Should they contact you there?
Yeah, just give me a call, 916-768-7323.
Awesome. Chris Stewart, thank you so much for Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. Appreciate you being here. And for those of you that are listeners, I haven't done this in a while, a little reminder, go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, write a little 6-star review, and actually put your comments. It helps us tremendously, guys, as the show is growing to attract better people like Chris to come and spend some time with us. This is a wrap. Episode number 18 of the Real Estate Sales Show is done. I've got a special guest next week, a guy by the name of Jeff Quinton, who has closed upwards of 350 properties a year, all by fax machine. Most of his clients he never even meets. You're not going to want to miss that one. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.